Good morning, everyone. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Reading from the first few verses there. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. This is God's Word. Let's all rise as we listen to the Word of God. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and the God and God the Father, who raised them from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder of your presence among us. Thank you for Jesus Christ and the work that he did on this planet many years ago, and how he was able to reconcile each one of us to you through faith in him, belief in what he did and who he is. Thank you, Father. I pray, Father, that as we continue our worship now through the reading and meditation on your word, that you will open our hearts and minds even more to your glory and to all the amazing wonders of the things that you do for us and your great love for us and your immense power that that none of us are able to understand. Thank you, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so we're continuing our worship with God's Word. And as we do that, I want you to think about some of the things that each one of you have gone through over this past week. You know, some of your experiences this past week. Some of you would have a good experience, hopefully. But I suspect, since we live in a fallen world, there's all sorts of experiences that we go through the past 6 days that may not be that good. It may be meh. Some may be unpleasant, right? Some may be unpleasant. I mean, it could be for those working, people yelling at you, right? Any of you ever been in a job where people yell at you? I mean, if it's just like a customer or a coworker, big deal. But if it's your manager or the boss, that makes a difference, a big difference. Maybe it's deadlines, right? May is coming up, AP exams, and maybe some of you, for better or for worse, have to do, was it AP exam preparation classes? Any of you do that? Some of you? I know some people who did. They're not at this church, though. Yeah, I mean, and maybe you might feel like you're stuck in your current situation in life, whether it's at school, maybe at home, and definitely if you're at work, you feel like you're stuck. You're not getting anywhere. You're not going anywhere fast, right? Or maybe you know people that you love that you know, something bad happened to them, right? I hate to say this, the older you get, the more that happens. The older you get. like more and more friends and family, you find that, oh yeah, so-and-so's sick. I mean, just the past month or so, there's people that I care about. I found out that, oh yeah, they got cancer and stuff, and he's not sure of his future. And praise be to God, he continues to walk with Jesus and continues to serve in whatever capacity he can, based on how physically fit he is, right? I mean, how do you understand that when those things happen to you? You look in your bulletins, the title is A Difficult Life, and all these things I'm talking about are pretty big downers, I guess. But I'll say, if you look at this passage in Galatians chapter 1, you do have reasons to praise God. You do have reasons. I mean, yeah, you do have reason to praise God. And you don't have to pretend when you come to church on Sunday, pretend with a fake smile, just so that you could say you're praising God. You don't have to live in that make-believe world. Because as real Christians, you should be able to face real life with all its difficulties, with perseverance, or as they say back in the old days, with true grit. True grit. As a real man, as a real woman. Tough. Now, our letter today, I don't know how often you've read through Galatians. It's what they call a circular letter. So, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, it was meant to be read in a bunch of churches in that particular area. So, Galatia is what we know today, modern Turkey. I mean, it's contained. It's within modern Turkey, the area of, or the province of Galatia, a Roman province, right? And when we look at these first few verses, a lot of times, and myself included, we're guilty of just kind of glossing over it. Because, look at what the Apostle Paul said. It looks like he's greeting people. And he is. He is greeting people. He's greeting the Christians in these churches that will be hearing this letter read on Sunday during their worship service. Right? And we think as an introduction, yeah, it's an introduction, and Paul, particularly Paul, he writes almost the same way in all his letters. If you read through Ephesians, Philippians, very similar. But actually, Galatians is a little bit different because it's one of his earliest letters. And normally in his letters, he'll greet people, he'll say some positive things, and then he'll get into the nitty-gritty stuff. But here in this letter, he doesn't. He greets them, and then he just digs right into these people. Just digs right into them, right? So it says here that Paul, he's an apostle. He's the guy that wrote this, right? By inspiration of the Holy Spirit working in him. And then later on, you read, you see later in this chapter that after he started these churches, he planted these churches in the area, other people came in and they tried to change what he taught, change his message. And they did that by putting him down. They're smearing his reputation. They're saying, oh yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And for those of you who work in the workplace, oftentimes this happens in the workplace too. If someone wants to move up in the company, what do? They put someone else down so that they look better. And that's what's happening here too, or what has happened. They say, oh, Paul doesn't... What he said is true, but he doesn't know it all. Right? He calls himself an apostle, but he's not like the other apostles. And check this out. We, these other people that came in, says, we're from Jerusalem. We know the real apostles, you know, those guys that spent time with Jesus. So hear what we say instead of what the Apostle Paul taught. Okay? But listen to how Paul defends himself right from the very first verse. He said he is an apostle, but not through men. He wasn't ordained an apostle by men, but, as it says in verse 1, through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Right? But through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. So what is Paul emphasizing here? He wasn't an apostle by his own choice. And he wasn't an apostle by the decision or the determination of any human being. He was made an apostle by God alone. God alone. And look carefully in verse 1. Which side does Jesus Christ fall on? Right? Because in that first verse, Paul distinguishes between the human and the divine. And Paul says, I wasn't made an apostle by men, but by God. And which side does Jesus fall on? God's side. Jesus is God. Now, as a side note, there's a lot of people out there who don't know what they're talking about, and they falsely claim that Jesus, nowhere in the Bible, is called God or treated as God. But here in the first verse of Galatians, we see that Jesus is God. So if anyone ever challenges you, says, where in the Bible does Jesus say he's God? Well, here it is in Galatians verse 1. Jesus is God. First verse. So Paul's apostleship originated with God. And that's why he emphasizes this so strongly. Right? Because these other people, they're saying Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. They're saying, yeah, what Paul says is right, but you gotta do these other things too. If you want the Holy God to accept you and to be happy with you. You gotta believe in Jesus. But we have all these other things that Paul left out because he doesn't know what he's talking about. What Paul taught was incomplete. That's what they're saying. But Paul says, no. I was commissioned as an apostle. I was ordained as an apostle by God Himself. Sent by Jesus to communicate God's word. So what Paul taught in this letter can be considered the very words of God Himself, because God gave him that authority. Which means that as you read this letter in your Bibles, you know it's God speaking to you and me. It's the truth. What you have here is the truth. And it's not relative. You know, some people say, yeah, truth is relative. Relative truth, right? In at least, I'm persuaded that that's not the case. You know, truth is not relative. That's like two different things put together. Right? The application can vary. But no, truth is the truth. And when we look at verse 2, we see that he adds the brothers with him stand behind him. Just in case his divine appointment was not authoritative for the Galatian Christians. And then you look at verse 3 and 4. This is the part I really want to dig into. Paul says he wishes them grace and peace to the Christians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? It's undeserved favor that is given to you And ultimately, grace and peace, they go together. Because peace is not just a feeling of calmness. Right? A lot of times we think of, oh yeah, peace, it's quiet, everything's still. What Paul's referring to in this peace is this peace from God. It's this rock solid, relationship that you have with God Himself that doesn't change, and that's happy, filled with joy. It's a good relationship, right? That's the peace and grace that Paul says you have through Jesus Christ, right? Because God, through Jesus Christ, has adopted you as His children. Your relationship is restored, right? There's peace between you and God Himself. It's not like if you ever go back to Genesis chapter 3, where after Adam and Eve, they sinned, what did they do? There was no peace between them and God. That's why when God came to look for them, they hid. You know, God says, "Where are you? Adam, where are you?" And they're like hiding in the bushes. Because there was no peace between Adam and Eve and God. But through Jesus Christ today, and in Paul's days, there is peace. When God is present, you guys don't have to hide. You don't have to hide behind these seats. Because there's this this love flowing between from God to you. And as you receive God's love, it's, you know, I hate to say it, it's not just like a chemical reaction. But then there's this reaction from you where love from you flow back to God and all around you. It's a beautiful picture. Right? That's a beautiful picture. That's a restored peace that you have through Jesus Christ. Right? Through Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel that Paul taught. This is the gospel. And it only comes through God. And is applied by God to you through His Holy Spirit. You have this through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the churches in Galatia at that time, they were in danger of adding to this gospel. They're in danger of adding to this gospel. Okay? So what about this grace? I just explained it a little bit. A lot of times you hear about grace in church and in Bible studies. You read about it. You study it. Right? You're told about how God loves you in spite of your sin. Okay? But check this out. A big part of this grace from God involves God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. Right? It involves not just, you know, when I say sovereignty, I'm including His power. His power. You know, I think back when I was a little kid, I have an older brother. I was only this big. So my brother was this big. And then there was these three guys, these three other older kids, like this big. And they wanted to beat up my brother for whatever reason. I don't know why. And I love my brother. But I'm like this big, and those guys are this big. Right? I love my brother. What do you think I did? I just stood there and cried. Well, I can't do anything. I love him. I see these. I disagree. I didn't think it was right for these guys to pick on my brother. But I was powerless to help them. And providentially, our mom came by. She said, "What's going on here?" You know? And I don't know how many of you remember my mom. She's passed away a long time ago. But she's a very tiny woman. She's like at the heaviest in her life. She might have been like 90 pounds. Most of her life she was like 70 pounds. That's like less than half my weight. She was a tiny woman. And she came by. I'm like, "Oh man, these guys going to beat up my mom too." Right? But my mom had authority. She dug into these little boys that big. She was like the same height as them. And those boys, when they saw her, she was like lighting them up with her mouth, tearing into them. "What are you doing?" Because she's like a mama bear protecting her babies. And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm glad she's yelling at them and not me. Because it was like those drill sergeants, if you're in the military, those of you. Yeah. But that's when you have power. It was like my mom had sovereignty over that situation. And she saved my brother and myself. Yay, we get to go home. None of us got beaten up. Praise God. Right? And that's our God. He is sovereign. He controls every single atom in the entire universe. You know, He's like the boss that whatever He says goes. Right? And He loves you. He loves you. Isn't that a great thing? Right? God's got the muscle to back up His words. God's got the resources. And in fact, theologically, if it looks like He doesn't have the resources, so what? He'll just make up some resources and it'll be real. And it'll help you. When Moses doubted God's power, you know, God used a human arm to help Moses understand. He says, "Is my arm too short to help you?" You know, too short. You know, those guys with the legs that aren't the same length, you know. Are my legs uneven? No. Is God's arm too short? No, it is long enough and it is strong enough to do what I command. And that is our God. And this is the God that called the Apostle Paul. This is the God that made Paul an apostle. This is the God that gave him the words to give to you and me and to the churches in Galatia 2,000 years ago. And this is the God that gives you grace and peace through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is God too. Right? Along with the Father. And we can't forget Holy Spirit. And that's a whole other topic we can get into. So what is Paul presupposing in these verses? It's really important when you think about it. Because when you dare to look at your difficulties in life face to face, you know, face those problems in your life. Don't try to hide from them. Hit it head on. And when you do that, the fact that is screaming out at you from these verses is that God is all powerful and He loves you. He loves you. And nothing happens in this world without His knowledge or His permission. Nothing. And then that'll bring up the question, like, what about all the bad stuff happening in the world? Well, the way I look at it is that it is above my pay grade and above your pay grade. But God understands what's going on. And He has His reasons for allowing those things. And He has His reasons to allow each one of you to go through your difficulties too. He has His reasons. And He may not reveal them to you right away. And He may not reveal the reasons to you even decades from today. But what He calls each one of you to do is to trust Him. Say, trust me. I control everything. I've let these things happen to you. But know that I love you. Trust me. Trust the Heavenly Father. And I've said these things to my children too, because there's times I would, I mean, they're a lot older now, but when they're like really tiny, there's only so much they can understand in life and the world. And there's a lot of things they didn't understand back then. They understand a lot of things now, but back then they didn't understand a lot of things. And I would ask them to do things or tell them to do things. And they'd say, I don't understand. I don't get it. I said, yeah, trust me. Trust Daddy. You know, it'll be better for you. It'll work out for you. And there's many things that happen in my life right now that I don't understand. But I know God calls me to trust Him. And I would pray and say, I don't understand. It's not very fun right now. It's actually very difficult for me. But I know you're calling me to trust you. And I know that you're not abandoning me. You're walking with me. And you promise me that this too will end. This too will end. Yeah. You know, so even when it feels like you're not in control, and it feels like your life is falling apart, God still is in control. He's sovereign. Right? And it says in verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. And don't feel bad if you don't remember that. I don't remember that. You know the time that I don't remember this? I'll tell you, it's pretty dumb. But whenever something bad happens to me, I forget this fact. Whenever something bad happens to me, I'm stuck in a situation. Bam! I forget that God loves me. But that's the moment that I need to know. Right? So this is a reminder. God knows what you're going through. He loves you. He cares about you. Do you believe that? Believe it. He knows it. Right? God is very loving. Do you believe that? He loves you. Right? But check this out. If the Father didn't love you, He wouldn't have sent Jesus to die for you. You know, what kind of father, what kind of dad or daddy in his right mind would send his own little boy to die for his enemies? You know, I didn't get that until I was a father myself. What kind of father would send his own little boy to die for people that hate him? Just to reconcile them back to Him. You know, for the people that I hate, I don't want to be with them. I want them to be far away from me. But God's not like that. He commands in His Word to love your enemy. And He demonstrates His love for His enemies by sending Jesus Christ, His own Son, who is also God, to die for His enemies, so that there would be peace And not just peace, so that these enemies can be part of His holy family. To be together with them in His house. That's how much He loves you. And He's got the muscle to back it up. Even when Jesus says, "Father, if this can pass from me, let it be so." When He was about to be arrested to go to the cross to be crucified. And what did the Father say to Jesus Christ? What did God the Father say to Jesus Christ? "No. You gotta go to the cross." And Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." We always talk about how much Jesus loves you. That is real. But man, think about the Heavenly Father. It's a sacrifice for Him too. Sacrifice for Him. How hard was it for the Father to say no to Jesus 3 times? "It breaks my heart whenever I can't help my children." And there are times when I couldn't help my children. They had to walk through that fire. My 4 kids. And it breaks my heart as I watch them through it, because I feel powerless as a dad. And it makes me wonder, did God the Father feel powerless at that time? When He said no to Jesus? Did He feel powerless? It's hard to say, because God is God. He is all powerful, right? God understands your pain. So for those of you who have not trusted in Christ before, now's the time. Pastor Tim was talking about just a few minutes ago. Believe in Jesus, that He died for your sins, alive right now. He took the punishment for you so that you can be part of God's family, your sins forgiven. And only by believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, will you be truly changed. And it's only by trusting in Jesus so that God changes you and fills you that you'll be able to face these difficulties face to face. Face to face. And to respond to these difficulties and trials in your life, not with evil, but in a good way. And this isn't just positive thinking. You know, try to look on the bright side. No, it's not that. It's seeing things as they really are. And more importantly, turning to the One who does the changing. That's God. The Holy Father. The One who provides the power to change. And He gives you the power. But it doesn't always feel that way. Maybe once in a while you might feel it. But this is the part that blows my mind. The change happens, but you still feel like yourself. You know, this is not like some story, some fiction. You know, like in the movies, when a person receives like superpowers or something, they see all these changes, they feel different, right? Like when Spider-Man gets his powers, they make fun of him. I mean, it's kind of funny, right? No, that's fake. That's make-believe. That's fiction. In reality, you can't trust your feelings. You've got this supernatural power in you, and yet you still feel like yourself. And here's the amazing thing. When you have walked through the difficulty and you come out on the other side, know that it is by the power of God that He brought you through it. Even though it feels like you don't sense Him, He is there, and He's brought you through it. Brought you through it on the other side. So when you come out on the other side, when you've done with those AP exams, for those of you who have your yearly reviews at work, when you come out the other end and things are okay, praise God. Know that His power was at work in you and through you. Right? So at the end of the day, when you're getting ready to lay down and rest, what do you have? God loves you. He cares about you. God, the Son's great sacrifice, also the Father's sacrifice for you too. Right? Yeah. So we could praise the one true God, whose name is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even as you end your day, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for, this sounds weird, but thank You for saying no to even Jesus when He was asking You to avoid the cross and His suffering that was just ahead of Him. And thank You, Father, for raising Jesus from the dead. Because as our hero, a dead hero is no hero. And He's alive right now because You raised Him from the dead. You can do all things. I pray, Father, for Your power and Your Spirit to be at work in all of us throughout this week. To praise You even in the light of trials. And to praise You even more when we come out on the other side. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.